Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 13th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. We have a newish reporter in town. He landed here a month ago and is working for the Sentinel. In case anyone hasn't read any of his stories, his name is Sam Posman, and he's here with us today. We're going to get a little sense of who he is and what his job entails. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. So, hi, Sam. How are you today?
I'm good, Colette. I appreciate you having me on today.
Did I pronounce your last name right?
You did. Yeah, okay. I did a lot of Palsmans, but no, Posman is exactly what it is.
Perfect. I meant to ask you that before this. So, welcome to town. You flew in from Maine, where you're from, right?
Yes. So, I was born in Charlotte initially, but moved to Maine in seventh grade. So, I've spent exactly a decade in Maine.
Oh, wow. So. And where in Maine did you spend the decade?
Yeah. So, my family's from Falmouth, which no one has heard of. So, it's about 5 minutes north of Portland, Maine, which I am now realizing that I am from the other Portland, whereas I was used to Portland, Oregon being the other Portland for a very long time, and now I am from the other Portland.
Yeah, I was very intrigued with Portland, Maine when I found out about it because, well, I'm originally from the Midwest, so mm-hmm. Portland, Maine is much closer to me than Portland, Oregon, but yeah. But you're from Portland.
Yes.
Maybe you're from...
I'm from the Portland.
The Portland.
Yes.
Yes. So what was your home like?
What was my home like? that's a loaded question. I mean, that starts with my family for me. I have two younger siblings. My brother is a sophomore at Hobart and William Smith in New York. And then my sister's going to be a junior in high school this year. They're both soccer players. My parents recently redid our kitchen, so from a physical version of my home, I love to cook, which gave me essentially a playground for the last 2 years since that happened. So shout out Mom and Dad for that. I have two dogs, and they are terrors, but they love each other very much, and we love them most of the time too. So that is good. Plus, we've got a nice big yard for them to kind of run around in. So we try and keep them happy when we can.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of dogs do you have?
They are golden doodle, labradoodle mixes. Technically they're called double doodles, which is a word that my dad refuses to say in public, because of how ridiculous it sounds, which is fair, but they are double doodles, and their names are Truman and Archie, except Archie's full name is Sir Jude Lawrence Archibald III. But not really the third.
Has anyone ever called Archie his full name before?
So it's like, you know how like your parents will call you your full name if you do something bad?
Yes.
That's kind of what it is. Where if we're mad at him, we'll be like, Sir Jude Lawrence Archibald. And it was never supposed to be the third. But then my dad told the vet that his name is Sir Jude Lawrence Archibald III, even though his name was always just Sir Jude Lawrence Archibald. So now legally he is Sir Jude Lawrence Archibald III.
Oh my
so
goodness.
It comes out sometimes.
That's amazing. So you said you love cooking. What are some fave meals? Like, do you have a specialty with certain dishes or?
I don't know. You know what? The one thing that I will kind of put up against anyone else's is risotto. I spent the spring of 2023 in Milan, Italy, and I was living in a studio apartment just by myself, similar to what I'm doing now. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to make risotto while I'm here. And I spoke to like my Italian professors and other kind of just like Italian chefs and cooks that I had met over there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. No recipe. And if it's bad, then I'm not cooking for anyone, and I'll just deal with it and eat bad risotto and eventually hope that this turns into good risotto. And I like to think now that I'm in a pretty good spot with it. I have done mushrooms, salmon, sausage, whatever. Like, I love making my risotto. I like to think that it's the food of love, because the only difference between good risotto and bad risotto is how much time you put into it. So I'm a truther with the risotto.
Yeah. Did anyone teach you how to make it in Milan?
It was kind of a me gleaning things from a bunch of different places. There was this one kid whose family I would tutor, or I tutored the kid in English, and his family made risotto for me one night, so I was kind of peppering the mom with questions all the time. Same goes for this other, there was this other family that I kind of met through like a English-Italian like semi-exchange thing. I was talking to their parents as well. My Italian professor was very, very helpful. And yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, I love food. Okay, so what are your interests? Like, what do you have any interests back from Maine, and have they transferred over this way? What do you like to do?
Yeah, so my very first toy in my crib when I was like 2 days old, or whenever I got to come home from the hospital, was a soccer ball. So soccer is something that's very important for me and my family. Both my siblings play it. I played it up through halfway through high school. I have just always like spent Saturday mornings watching English Premier League games, with my family, which I'm still adjusting to that starting at 3 to 5 in the morning over here instead of 7 to 10 on the East Coast. But that will take some time to adjust. My favorite team is Arsenal, so if anyone listening supports Arsenal, feel free to shoot me a Facebook message.
Where is Arsenal from?
They're from North London.
Okay.
So, not close to here. I love movies. I would say between movies and soccer, you're kind of getting a good understanding of me. I watch so many movies, and I really love them all, unless I don't like them at all. So.
Okay, yes. So... you say you love them all. Mm-hmm. What's a movie that you don't like?
What's a movie that I don't like? I'm trying to think of like a popular, like what's a, like a hot take that I would have maybe, or what's a movie that I don't like? Oh, you know what? So Twisters is coming to town this weekend.
Yes.
In preparation for this, I watched the original Twister. From 1996, and I'm sorry if you are a fan of Twister from 1996. I am not. I thought it was fun, and then they just kept on chasing tornadoes. And I understood that that was the purpose of the movie, and that I was going to watch Twister to watch them chase tornadoes. But eventually, when you're chasing your 7th tornado in an hour and a half, it loses a bit of its luster for me. So, I don't know if I'm going to defend Twister until the day I die, but I'm hoping that Glenn Powell can, you know, really grab what wasn't there in the first one this time around.
What about this weekend? Are you going to go see Twisters?
Of course. Of course I'm going to see Twisters. Hopefully the plural Twisters makes it, you know, at least 10% better.
Maybe it'll be double the amount of Twisters.
That'd be great. 14 Twisters in an hour and a half. That is the problem with the movie for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And so you say, you know, again, I guess I'm just going back to cooking because I think food is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's universal. What about here in Wrangell? Like, are you able to make everything that you've ever wanted to? I know like certain food supplies are not really available.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about here?
Quick backstory. I applied for this job on a website called journalismjobs.com, which sounds like it's made up. It's not, I promise. Whenever I was bored in Russian history class, I would just scroll journalismjobs.com. And that's how I met Larry Pursley, who's the publisher and editor of The Sentinel. And I started speaking with him, and I was kind of figuring out if this was something I was seriously considering. He was trying to figure out if I was someone he was seriously considering. And then there was one day we were talking, and I was like, what's the food situation like? Because that is important for me. I like to cook. I like to eat. My grandmother knows that more than anyone in the world. If she's listening to this, I guarantee you she knows. And I asked him this question, and he goes, yeah, I would say it's like all pretty much salmon and halibut and shrimp. And he goes, do you like that? if I were to list you my three favorite things from the sea, it would be those things in that order. My dinner tonight is likely going to be this halibut that someone gave me that I didn't have to pay for. Someone just gave it to me as a gift that he had caught offshore. So I am learning how to cook halibut. I've kind of grown up on salmon, so I know how to cook salmon, and I've had so much fun like trying different ways to cook it. I did this like Dijon mustard walnut salmon thing the other day. So much fun. I got my I brought the salmon seasoning that my parents have always used from home. So like if I'm ever like, okay, I need dad's salmon right now, I can just put on that seasoning and it tastes just like it. I've really been playing around with it, and I've been doing a lot of like salmon and rice dishes. So I don't feel like I'm really missing anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. You might have to give me some tips because I have frozen halibut in my freezer too, and I've never made it before.
I have not either. I called my mom last week and I said, Mom, I'm making frozen halibut next week. Or not frozen halibut. I'm not going to eat frozen halibut. I'm making halibut next week. And she goes, all you need is butter, salt, and pepper. So we're going to try it like that.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect. And that is available here.
It is.
Okay. And then you do like to play soccer/football, right?
Yes.
Have you played it yet here?
I have not. I've played a lot of basketball here. Wrangell doesn't have a soccer team, which I am very sad about. And if there's anyone that wants to play soccer in Wrangell, please, again, reach out. I am in the Wrangell community Facebook group. But I've played a lot of basketball here. I've been playing in the Sunday night pickup runs. I've played outside a couple of times. It's been a lot of fun. That's always been something that I played at college and just kind of in the driveway with friends and family. So it's been nice to keep that going. Plus, awesome. It's a great way to meet people.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So you graduated with a bachelor's, right?
Yes.
And can you talk about where you went to school and what did you study?
Yeah. So I went to Bowdoin College. It's in Maine, in Brunswick, Maine. Picture a stereotypical Stephen King New England town, and that is Brunswick. I loved it. It was really small. It was actually about the size of Wrangell. There's 2,000 people. I was a history major, in part because I knew I wanted to do journalism when I had to decide my major. That would have been sophomore spring. And there's this John Mulaney joke, who's one of my favorite comedians, where he says, I'm an English major, which means that I paid $120,000 to learn a language I already spoke. And for 18-year-old Sam Posman, that was very influential because I knew I wanted to do journalism, which was reading and writing. And that meant it was either history or English. So I was like, let's do history. I had a blast. All of my favorite professors were in the history department. So I made really good connections with them. And that kind of made learning easier too. I also, senior year, I kind of fell in love with like learning how to learn about movies, and maybe talk about them more than just like a, wow, that was a good movie. Like I wanted to really know why something was a good movie or why it made me feel, oh, I felt kind of betrayed by the ending of this movie. Oh, wow, this was really rewarding. What a good payoff. So I took 4 cinema studies classes my senior year, including an independent study where I looked at romance and love in the movies. That would have been senior spring. So that was a blast. Throughout all my time at college, I was on the school paper, and then I was the editor-in-chief of it alongside one of my very best friends my senior year. And that was the most rewarding thing I've done. So just very grateful for everything kind of that happened at Bowdoin.
That's really awesome. And just the fact that, you know, you learned how to just like be critical on movies, you know, like describe how you're feeling, how a movie made you feel or whatever, you know. I don't know. Maybe I don't think everyone does that, you know.
Yeah. And I still certainly don't. Like a lot of times, like I'll watch a movie and I'll be like, wow, I did not like this, but I don't know why. And then I'll like talk with a friend and I'll be like, okay, you didn't like this for this reason. And I've kind of like learned what type of movies that like I'll be drawn to and what type of movies I'll be like trying to scroll on Instagram during or whatever it is. But
well, I look forward to hearing about Twisters too.
Oh, definitely. Hopefully my thoughts are more positive than the first.
What was What was your paper called at the school that you worked at?
Yeah, it was called The Bowdoin Orient. It is the nation's longest continuously published college weekly, which I think is a wonderful. It's also kind of ridiculous the reason why it happened. It's because I forget who, it might have been Harvard, was older than us. I don't think it was a school of that caliber, except during World War II, they sent their students to go fight, like the powers of evil.
Hmm.
And Bowdoin students did not do that. They did not need to go fight. So we got to be the nation's longest continuously published college weekly because other people were going to like fight against the Axis powers. So it's a bit of a dubious award, but I think it's funny. And now I'm working for Alaska's longest continuously published weekly. So I think it's a fun little jumping off point. Yeah.
Just like from one coast to the whole opposite.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's some added history too that you included. I didn't know that, you know, like certain colleges, universities made their students fight.
Yeah. I don't know what went into that decision or why certain people had to, but Bowdoin students did not.
That's amazing. So what is it about journalism that draws you to it?
My answer for this question is, I would say in 95% of the stories you're writing, you are talking to someone about the thing that they care the most about. And there's literally no other profession where you get to do that. Like, that is the coolest thing ever. Like, I think that is so, so cool. Like, I'm doing a story about the totem carvings 2 weeks ago, and I'm going and talking to master carvers from Clinton and Haida, and they're, like, they've dedicated their life to this craft, and now I just get to, like, even just, like, pick up, like, a little percentage of that passion from them and try and, like, spread it into my writing and into a story. Like, I think that is just the coolest, like, privilege ever. And obviously journalism has moments where you're writing about something terrible, and I've done that, and that part is so hard. But the other part is the moments when you're speaking to people about the things that they love and the people that they love, it completely just, like, it brings you all back for the reason you're doing it. And even if it's like a silly little small thing, it's still like the passion is not defined by the size of the project necessarily. So
yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. Just, I mean, okay, this isn't about me. Yeah. This interview is not about
me. No, go on. I've talked way too much.
But, no, but I was thinking, you know, I have so many interests and there's no way I can do everything. So why not do this?
Yeah.
And get a little taste or flavor, you know, of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Yeah. I think it's the best.
So what's your experience been like so far at the Sentinel?
It's been so much fun. I was nervous coming out here. I've never lived further from my family. I've never lived further from all the people in my life. The job is so much fun. Like, it has made the transition, like, much, much, just more palatable, a lot easier even, to living in Maine, where at college, right, I'm 5 minutes away from all my friends, to now where I am like, let's meet new friends, you know? But I love the job. I am just kind of, I can walk anywhere and everywhere. I walk to the post office. I walk back home if I forgot my jacket and it has started raining. Like, I can walk anywhere I want, and I love that. I just pop down to the Cultural Center for Clinton Haida and talk to them first. Pop down to City Hall. I stop into Canoe Lagoon and get oysters, or I've been getting my coffee there. I stopped in there today. Like, everything is just so close, and the office is in a great location for that too. Plus, like, Larry is a great editor, and I'm already, like, learning a lot about, like, actual journalism practices that maybe a college paper, where it's a lot more like, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, then we're never gonna do that again. So it's been nice to have someone to kind of tell me, like, do this, don't do that.
Yeah, can you just give an example about how this job compares to working at the school paper?
Yeah, so the school paper this past year for me, I was editor-in-chief, which meant that was a people management job, we had 70 people on staff.
Oh, wow.
Which for a school of 2,000 is pretty rare, and like so lucky that people were interested in writing for the paper and doing layout and photography and editing. But I think I maybe wrote 4 or 5 articles my entire senior year, just because so much of it was like the organizational side of things. And I missed writing so much. Like I missed going out and talking to people and learning about them and writing it down and deciding, oh, we should include this, we should not include this, or just like, I don't know, like when you're in the supermarket and you have a random idea for a lead and I'm like, or like typing it frantically on my notes app. Like I wasn't able to do that really the past 12 months at school. And now my entire job is to write. And that like, hell, like I just think I'm so lucky that I A, love it as much as I do, but also that it has kind of became something that's available for me. So it is just like I wake up and I'm like, your job is to ask questions and write things down. Like information synthesis is the boring way to put it, but just like talking to people about passions is the really exciting way. Yeah. I like to think about it.
That's really cool. Okay, and now going back here to your job, what does an average day look like?
It really depends. I would say an average day, I try to get one story written a day. Now, that's not always interviews write the story in the same day. A lot of it is kind of like, okay, I have a bunch of interviews front loaded for the morning. I'm going to try and write some stories in the afternoon, but also like I need to answer these questions, and these things aren't scheduled until Thursday, so I don't even know if I'll get to that by the Friday deadline. So a lot of it is very up in the air, and the uncertainty is kind of fun for me, because I don't know what a lot of days are going to look like. That said, like no week has been the same at all. Like you and I, 2 weeks ago, we were at Ann watching black bears eat salmon for our jobs. Tomorrow, I'm going to spend 2 hours at Zach's Cafe just talking to James and Catherine and watching them do their thing and taking photos because we're doing a feature on them this week. So I'm going to be with them for the lunch shift. It's just so, so cool. Like every day is kind of a new little adventure. Sometimes we're meeting with Mason and I just throw 1,000 questions at him and I'm very grateful that he gives us straight answers, but
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so great. And can you speak about, okay, you've already mentioned a few wonderful experiences you've had here, I would say, but what's a memorable moment you've had so far? Like another memorable moment with the paper.
With the paper. Ooh, let me think. Oh, you know what? If you can't tell from this interview, my family is very important to me by the nature of me talking incessantly about them. I remember seeing, we got our papers Tuesday morning a month ago, and that was the first time that my name was going to be in print. And I just remember like seeing my name on the front page just with like so much, like there was just like a, it wasn't maybe pride, but it just felt very rewarding. And we're a 2-man operation. It's me and Amber in the office. So we were stuffing everything ourselves and putting labels on them to ship them out to folks. And I pulled my family's subscription out of the stack and I wrote notes about like all the articles and like funny things. And like there was a picture of me because Larry wrote a profile about me my first week. And I like circled myself. I was like, isn't this guy so handsome? And I sent it to my family. So that was really fun because it just kind of tied together a lot of things that were important for me.
Yeah, that's a great memory.
Yeah.
That's a really great memory. And what's a story that you covered that has stuck with you?
Oh, a story that I covered that has stuck with me. I think the Christmas tree story, that was so much fun for me because, again, it was just talking to people that were so excited to go walk around the forest and look at trees, which, like, in any other setting is either, like, you either really have to be, like, a hardcore arborist who knows a lot about trees and cares a lot about them, or you have to be so excited to find the perfect tree for the U.S. Capitol Christmas tree. Like, that is amazing. And just going into that room, they had kind of like, I mean, you were there. They had like this little press room set up in the Nolan Center. And we would just bounce between people and talk to them. And doing that and learning so much about what it's like to cut a tree down and how you do that. And I felt like I could tell anyone about the process of cutting a tree down without hurting its water intake and keeping it alive for 2 weeks by the end of those conversations with those people. So that was kind of a moment that clicked for me where I was like, you know what? Like, you just have to just ask good questions. And if you don't, and you don't even have to ask good questions. You just have to ask all the any question you have. And eventually, you throw it all at the wall, some of it's going to stick, right? So if people are willing to give you their time, take advantage of it and just don't be afraid to ask dumb questions is what I keep telling myself.
Yeah, people definitely have a wealth of information of many different kinds, of experiences. And that's just one. And now, I think, was that your first story? That was the day I first met you.
That was my first story. So I'm very happy that it clicked on that story and that I, the whole mindset about just asking a billion different questions, because it definitely helped me adjust to kind of I think I wrote 5 stories my first week, and that's not to flex, but it's more to be I would not have been able to do that if I didn't have that moment of just ask a billion questions and everything will be okay moment on story number one.
Yeah. And okay, so what's challenging about your job as a reporter here then?
What is challenging about my job as a reporter here? There are 2,000 people here and everyone knows everyone, and everyone knows everyone and everything about everyone except for me, right? And I'm the one who kind of needs to be able to have knowledge to write about businesses and kind of have a historical memory, right, about what goes on in town and this business used to be owned by blah, blah, blah. And before that it was blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I'm trying to pull in 1,000 different things of information from all over the place so I don't just completely botch the story of something that we're writing about. So I feel the barrier to entry in terms of learning about the history of Wrangell, or even just the way things are organized, the difference between a borough and a city, and what's the difference between WCA and Tlingit Haida, all the different kind of strata of organization and even governance has been difficult to wrap my head around and figure out. It's so this person can control this, but this person can't do anything about that. And just making sure I'm talking to the right people. But again, Becca, who was here before me, her and I overlapped by 2 or 3 days. And I did ask her, I was what is the solution to this? Because I was I feel I am so lost. I was I know I can do the journalism part of it, but I don't, how do I figure, wrangle out and learn about how things are organized here? And she was the best thing about that and the worst thing about that is that the only solution is time. So she's right now it is as hard as it's going to be, and then tomorrow it'll be 1% better, and then that'll just start compiling. So I do feel I'm starting to get a sense of how things work. I'm probably at 6% in terms of complete understanding, but again, that's 6 percentage points higher than I was on day one.
Yeah, and I'm still learning, too. I've been here since November, so I feel that's still new-ish, too.
Definitely.
It's hard.
It is.
Definitely, to have a full, understanding of every single thing. And so what do you like about Wrangell so far? You talked a little bit about it. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a level of kindness here in terms of because everyone knows everyone, you can't afford to be rude to people. And not just that, but if that's the baseline, then I like to think that it raises the ceiling to such a different level. When we were on our trip to Annan, right, we ran into someone whose name I'm not going to say because I don't want to get them in trouble. But they were hey, if you ever want halibut, seriously, let me know. I have a bunch of it.
I was not part of that conversation.
I'm so sorry, Colette. But we were leaving and he was no, seriously, here's my number. Text me when you get home and I'll give you some halibut. And just something like that. Amber at the office, right? She brought me a toaster. I don't know where she got it, but she was have a toaster for your apartment. It's just little things where people are really looking out for each other. Even when I was trying to find a place to live and I was posting on the Facebook, like the Randall Facebook, Randall for Rent Facebook page, I guess, so many people reached out and they're like, hey, I don't have anything right now, but like, I'll keep an eye out. Here's my number. Here's my email. Like, reach back out in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. So I really get the sense that people look out for each other here. And I think that's, I'm very excited to be a part of that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely very special. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in and talking with us. That was Sam Posman, who works as a reporter at the Sentinel.